RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are taking you to Badlands National Park, one of our very favorite places that we explored as a family this past summer. We'll talk about where we camped, what we ate, and the trails we hiked.
A lot of travelers squeeze in a brief stop to the Badlands on their way to grander destinations like Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone, but we think you should really stop and smell the flowers, or rather, the towering rock formations.
You might think Badlands National Park is just a quick stop and a photo op, but we know that there are days worth of magic to soak up. You are listening to episode number 211, Greetings from Badlands National Park.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Greetings from Badlands National Park, it's time for another What's Cookin' with RVFTA segment, and we just have two more of these segments. So the next season, we're going to do something brand new at the beginning of the show, and this segment is sponsored by our friends at Cabela's.
All right, if you're listening to this episode right when it comes out, this is our last chance to remind you that we are going to be at the Delaware Cabela's store this December 15th to enjoy all of their holiday festivities. So Santa's Wonderland is right now at all Bass Pro and Cabela's stores. The event is going on through December 24th, so you have time to go and get your free photos with Santa. You can do free crafts and activities. And then, of course, you can do your Christmas shopping.
And you can see us from 11 to 5. This coming
Cabela's.
Saturday at the Delaware Cabela's, we will be there. I will take a selfie with you if you want.
All right. And you can go to BassPro.com or Cabela's.com and click on that Santa's Wonderland picture link, and it'll show you all the information you need to find out more about the event near you.
And if you're going to come say hello, look for us in the camping section.
All right. Check out Cabela's full line of affordable outdoor gear at Cabela's.com. It's in your nature.
Stephanie, catch us up on this dynamic cookbook, The Campground Gourmet, simple, delicious recipes for cooking in the great outdoors. The price went up. It's full price now. It's $9.99, but it's worth every penny
of it. The price didn't go up. We were just running a special. It went back to regular retail pricing.
And this is a number one bestseller on Amazon.
Yeah, it really, we did really well with the release. Thanks to all of our listeners out there who know that Kate just provides a tremendous value when it comes to campground cooking. And she provides something that's a little different than other things that are out there, because what Kate does is she really takes these recipes and she makes them so that they're fine at home and at the campground. And that's what I love, because a lot of us RVers, we like to cook somewhat, you know, a little bit different, but in a way, a lot of time we cook some of the same types of foods at the campground that we do at home. I mean, we have RV kitchens and then we have grills, or we have, you know, griddles, or we have Dutch ovens. It's a lot of different stuff for anybody out there, no matter how you like to cook. So this has definitely been a hit so far with everybody that's tried it. Now, I did want to say there were some people that are saying, oh, it's only on Kindle. I don't have a Kindle. It doesn't matter. You don't need a Kindle to buy this book. The Kindle app from Amazon can be used on any Android or Apple device. So an iPad, an iPhone.
You read right off your iPhone.
I do.
Through the Kindle app.
Yeah, absolutely. I read, right. I hardly ever use my Kindle, but I use the Kindle app all the time. So yeah, it's really easy to use any device and to get this.
And I want to say too, a lot of the reviews and a lot of the comments and emails we're getting are saying, well, I want the print edition. That may happen someday, but there are no immediate plans for a print edition. So you need to buy this digitally if you want it, or you're going to miss out.
Right. I did kind of get that feeling. Like some people thought that any day now we'd be saying there's a print. And then some people were like,
well, we're not holding back.
Right. And then some people were like, oh, well, there's Amazon print on demand. But it's really not that simple when you're talking about a cookbook full of images and full color. And it's not like printing out a paperback novel, you know, with Amazon on demand. So
exactly. I think that would be fine for a text-only book, but this is a cookbook. And if we do it as a print book one day, we're going to do it right.
Yeah, and that's not going to be through Amazon on demand probably at this point. So don't hold, you know, don't hold out thinking it's coming and we've just been tricking you. It really is in Kindle only right now, and it's fine because on any device you can get it. And isn't that easier than having a cookbook to bring with you camping?
Like, it seems like the people that are just reading it right off their Kindle e-reader, phone, whatever, are really enjoying the experience, because I mean, you could be playing some music and looking at the recipe and cooking, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it works just fine that way.
All right. So now the recipe that we're going to talk about today, and all the recipes that we're sharing on the blog here on the podcast, are also printed over on the blog. So you can kind of get an idea of what the book is like before
Should
you go
call
and
it
buy it.
A taste of the book.
It's a taste. So today we're talking about the herb cheddar biscuits with sausage gravy, just because I love biscuits and gravy. I'm a savory breakfast kind of person. Everybody else in the family is more of a sweet breakfast kind of
person. I have never seen Stephanie put syrup on anything.
No.
If we're at a Jersey diner, whatever, she never orders. I've never seen you order pancakes.
No. I order eggs. I love hash browns. I love omelets. I love all that kind of stuff for breakfast. So this is more
and
my
speed.
You
love your breakfast just as much as the rest of us. It's just not pancakes, French toast, but you will have bacon.
So this is, so the herb cheddar biscuits, the great thing is Kate gives us her herb cheddar biscuit recipe. And this is kind of key to the book. These could, you could make these at the campground, but you could also just make them at home ahead of time and bring them with you and then have a pretty quick breakfast by just making the sausage gravy on the camp stove or on the RV stove. So, you know, Kate a while back did a Facebook Live showing that, how she makes the biscuits ahead of time when she's going on a trip. And so for these biscuits, it's pretty easy because she mixes together the flour, the cheddar cheese, the sugar, the baking powder, the kosher salt, and the herbs. And then she explains like how to make a well at the center of the bowl and add heavy cream and mix all the ingredients together until the dough, you know, starts to kind of like stick together. And then you're going to put it out on a lightly floured counter. You're going to knead the dough, and then you're going to flatten by hand and roll it out to about a 1/2 inch thickness. You're going to cut into the rounds, and she says it's really important to go down and press firmly and then remove and not to twist, okay, because that's going to kind of ruin the dough. And she said that in her Facebook Live that she did on this too. Cut the biscuits as close as you can because you can't re-roll biscuit dough like you can when you're doing like sugar cookies or something.
Why not?
I don't know. You're going to have to talk to Kate about that, honey.
No, I will. Do you know how many times I messaged Kate about like food questions?
Yeah. I'm sure she'd be happy to explain the concept behind that. Then you're going to place the biscuits on a baking sheet and you're going to bake 20 to 25 minutes in that 400 degree oven. Now, look, if you do that ahead of time before you camp, listen to this sausage gravy. 1 pound of breakfast sausage, 3.5 cups whole milk, 1/4 cup unbleached all-purpose flour, and 1 teaspoon of fresh ground pepper. That's all you need to make.
There was just a massive recall of Jimmy Dean sausage.
Okay, so don't use that. We'll get another kind of sausage besides Jimmy Dean sausage.
I'm not hating on Jimmy Dean, but they found metal in it.
Okay, well, so that's good for everybody to know. Find a different kind of sausage.
Public service.
You're really whetting everybody's appetites here. All right, and you're going to make the sausage gravy. You're going to serve it over the cheddar biscuits. Yummy. I love that kind of breakfast. That's my style. So this whole recipe is over on rvfta.com on the blog under herb cheddar biscuits with sausage gravy.
And this sounds like one of those meals that like everyone in the family is going to like.
Oh, yeah.
Even our picky eater. Oh.
Yeah.
Who will remain unnamed, Wesley.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll eat sausage. He'll eat the biscuit.
He eats sausage.
Yeah. He does love sausage.
He eats sausage.
So I wonder.
We don't make sausage a lot.
The problem with you know, Wes, and this is like so many picky eaters, he might like sausage and he might like biscuits. And then for some reason you put them together and the world ends. And
he wants everything separated. Like, just, he like, does.
What's wrong with this? I'll tell him all the time, you like everything that's in
Wesley's
this.
Wesley's dream would be those TV dinners where everything is separated into its little. I used to eat those when I was a kid.
Oh, I just got, you know, I just got like a shiver thinking about those like mashed potatoes on those TV dinners that are like, ugh.
My family occasionally ate TV dinners.
Gross.
Everything you need to know about me.
Well, there's no TV dinners in the campground.
I have not had one since I met you.
All right. Don't forget, we're running a contest. If you buy this book and you leave a verified purchaser review on Amazon before January 1st, you're in the running to win $100 Cabela's gift
card. So you're running
out
of time.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there's about 50 reviews.
So that's, you got a good chance.
The people that have written reviews have a 1 in 50 chance of getting a $100 Cabela's gift certificate. Yeah. So this is the best chance you have for a great prize like this. So buy the book, leave the review, and we will love you for it.
All right. Now, we are excited to tell you all about our trip to Badlands National Park, and even more so because this is the time of year where people are planning their travels for next year, and more on social media. Haven't you seen the questions about Badlands popping
up? Lots of Badlands
up?
Questions, yep. And we'll do our best to answer all of your Badlands questions, because it's one of those places that people, they're not sure about. They're not sure how long to stay there. They're not sure where to stay. It's not like it's Yellowstone or Glacier where it's your ultimate destination. It's often that place that you tack on before or after something. So we're going to help you figure out how to really do Badlands the best possible way, because Stephanie, it was one of the absolute highlights of my entire RV life.
Loved it. Not a throwaway at all. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one about Badlands National Park, and we are really excited to share all of our best tips and tricks and recommendations from our time at Badlands National Park this past summer. It truly was an epic destination for our family, but before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together. Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year limited warranty. Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
If you want to talk about generations of family fun, you want to talk about Badlands National Park, because it stands out. Like, I will remember to my last day on this planet being in Badlands National Park, and the boys will always remember being in Badlands National Park. Or if you ask them about some other trips when they were younger, they start to blend together. Badlands National Park ain't gonna blend. It is just one of the most unique RV destinations on planet Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that end, there are really only two places that people are looking to stay when they're planning their stopover at Badlands National Park. We have reviewed both of them on the Campground of the Week podcast. So just this week, Jeremy and I did a review of Cedar Pass Campground, which is the actual national park campground that you can reserve and have RVs in a Badlands National Park.
And have at least an electrical hookup. To run AC, because it can get hot.
Yes. And then we also have a review of the Badlands KOA by Carrie Cox, who travels with Birdie. She reviewed the Badlands KOA a little while back, and we have that linked in the show notes of this episode too. So I would highly recommend taking a listen to both of those reviews if you're trying to decide where to stay.
Two totally different options, yeah. But follow your own camping style. If you want a pool at the end of the day and you really want sewer hookups, then the KOA is going to be a great choice. If you want the most beautiful campground, then we certainly recommend Cedar Pass Campground, because it is surrounded by the Badlands formations in every direction.
Now, one of the most common questions that pops up on social media is how long to stay at Badlands National Park. So like Jeremy said before, people are usually either heading east, like from Yellowstone, and doing a loop through South Dakota and maybe back down home if they're coming from Texas or something like that. Or for somebody like us, we're going west through South Dakota, and a lot of people are headed out to Yellowstone and the Tetons. So, you know, people are like, well, how long should I stop? And of course, they're going to these mega popular destinations, and they kind of go, oh, we'll stop a night in the Badlands. It's very common to stay overnight one night in the Badlands.
We think that's a mistake. And we do understand that a lot of people have that 1-2 week vacation, and they have no idea when they'll get back out to South Dakota again. So they're trying to, you know, pack everything in there. Our philosophy on this was quite different. We decided to do an entire, basically 2 week South Dakota trip, and then save Yellowstone for another trip, save Glacier for another trip. That's just what our family wanted to do. And it worked out really, really well. Now, that being said, we know you may have a time crunch and you may not have a lot of time, but we really do think that rushing through and doing one night is a mistake. And I'll tell you why I think it's a mistake. If you only just want to see the Badlands and get a sense of what they look like, then one night's sufficient. You're going to be able to drive the loop road and look around. But if you actually want to get out and explore and hike and really, really get into the terrain, I don't see how you could possibly do that by staying one night.
Yeah, no, I do happen to think that we stayed for 3 nights, and it was great because that gave us 2 full days. And what that meant was that we could both do everything in the park that we wanted to do and in the immediate area around the park that we wanted to do. And we'll go into that more in the second segment of the national park episode. But I do think that if you are cutting it close and you're crunched on time, if you stay for 2 nights, that gives you 1 full day in the park. I do believe you can have a great experience.
Because you'll experience everything visually. You could go on a hike.
You can do a ranger program. You can do the night sky program, all of which we're going to talk about. But really, you could kind of check off the drives. A little bit of everything that we talk about today on the podcast, you could squeeze in.
And you could squeeze in Wall Drug. Like maybe you would hit Wall Drug.
Well, on your way out or on your way out.
On your way in.
Exactly.
Because there's ample parking at Wall Drug for RVs. So that does not have to be something like where you drop off the trailer and go see Wall Drug. So I would agree with you that 2 nights could really be sufficient for a lot of people. I personally, Jeremy's recommendation, I think 3 nights is awesome with 2 full mm-hmm. days, which is what we did, because we're a hiking family. And when we go somewhere, we want to do a lot of hiking. Now, in Badlands, we did almost every hike. Now, obviously, you could go off trail and do a gazillion different hikes, but we did all of the hikes that are like on the national park map that are trails, that are, you know, formal official hikes. We did all of them in 2 days, and each one was quite different, and each one was quite awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, just based on your schedule, it's going to vary, but we were ready to go and to move on to the next spot after 3 days. That's another thing. I do think that 4 nights would have been, a little too long. Not that we would have relaxed and done something, but I do think we were all ready to go after 3 nights. So it is kind of, that's our advice.
More than any destination that we have ever gone to, I really feel strongly about that. Like 4 nights would have been excessive. We would have just been repeating ourselves. Even at the end of our last full day there, I think we went back to Wall Drug a second time.
Well, because, yeah, we'll talk about that a little more because you can take the loop road and you're getting ahead. You always love to like dive into everything.
But here's the
stick with the outline, Jeremy.
I think that both of us think that like 1 night's a mistake and 4 nights is a mistake.
Yeah.
And we feel like 2 to 3 nights is a real sweet spot for Badlands National Park.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, you're there. You've parked your RV. What are you going to do in Badlands National Park? Well, first off, let's talk about the visitors center. So the Ben Rifle Visitor Center is sort of like the headquarters, right, that you're going to want to visit when you first get to the national park.
And it's right by Cedar Pass Campground.
Yeah, and Jeremy and I are really big proponents of going to the visitor center and talking to rangers before you do anything else in a national park. We do our research ahead of time. We go in with a lot of ideas about what we want to do. But time and time again, our talks with the rangers really help us to find things that maybe we didn't really know about, or to just kind of focus us in a different way or make us think differently about the place.
You're also getting information. This is a perfect example of why you need to stop at the visitor center. We stopped at the visitor center our first morning there, and we found out that the Notch Trail was closed. That was what we wanted to do that day. And it's not like it would have been some massive drive going out to the Notch Trail. It wasn't far away, But the sign was up and the rangers were sharing with everybody that the Notch Trail was closed, and they were suggesting alternate hikes. So there's a lot of intel that you get at a National Park Visitor Center. And the gift shop here was awesome. Lots of really cool gifts. It was one of the better National Park gift shops I've been to. Stephanie is like kind of smiling at me right now.
There's an interpretive display here kind of about the topography and the geology of the area. There's also a film that's a decent film. You know, we like to rate our National Park films. This is not one of the best we've ever seen, but it was definitely decent.
Better
for
than
sure.
Crater Lake.
No, Crater Lake was one of the best ever.
Crater Lake was the one that was all like mystical and weird.
No, that was Olympic National Park.
Oh, you're right.
Crater She's Lake right. is one of the best we've ever
the
seen.
Olympic National Park movie at the Visitor Center.
Was the
Center.
Worst we've ever
it
seen.
It was so new agey that even like someone new age would not like be into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they'd feel like maybe they were mocking their new aginess. Like this
mystical,
is so new agey.
It was
agey.
Like the mystical oh. music and all that stuff. You know, you're right. The Crater Lake one was like informational.
Oh, it was so good.
Scientific.
Yeah. It was great. I knew everything about Crater Lake by the end of it. So this
Except
is,
it was on a little tiny TV yeah. in a little tiny room.
So anyway, this also has some like workshops and the classes that they teach in this visitor center. There's a lot of programs here. So it's, you know, definitely will suit you well to chat with a ranger and figure out what you would like to do. You can also do a junior ranger program here, pick up your stuff for that. And you can stamp your National Parks passport at this visitor center.
Now when we go to a national park, we like to hike. And in terms of the official hikes, as I've mentioned, there are not that many hikes that are on trails here at Badlands National Park. I mean, you could wander off into the middle of the Badlands if you wanted to, but be very careful. My goodness, there are steep drop-offs everywhere. The ground is very crumbly. But in terms of the official hikes, you could knock all of these hikes out in 2 days easily. If you were super ambitious, like a super healthy, athletic family, you could do all this in a day. So we did the Door Trail, which is only 0.7 miles. We did the Window Trail, which is like 0.25. And that's like if you have somebody that is struggling walking or somebody that's handicapped, that trail is like the whole thing is on a path, right?
Right. It's an accessible trail. So, but it's also really more like the Window Trail is really more almost like a rock scramble, really. I mean, there's the little boardwalks there, but everybody is scrambling all over the rocks. And that's just a really nice place for kids and adults to be climbing up and enjoying. So it really feels more like an area than a hike.
Yeah. And the Door Trail, the 0.75 one, you kind of, there's like a little bit of a walkway, and then you can just go off the walkway, which pretty much everybody does. And then you can just go really, really far if you
want.
Well,
they had mile markers. So, or not mile markers, but rather trail markers. And they were numbered, right? So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. Because, you know, in this terrain, you can't carve out a path like you can in the woods or something. So it was actually really fun for the boys. This was the first hike that we did here. And it was fun because you would go to the one trail marker and then you'd have to look to find the next one. People who have hiked in really rocky terrains are familiar with this process. And then they'd, you know, go to the next one and the next one. And then at the very end, there was a sign sticking, you know, up in one of these big, you know, cliffs. And it was like end of trail, you know, and you're like at the edge of a cliff.
The terrain is worth talking about because it's like clay. Is that a good way to describe it?
It is clay.
It is clay. And when it rains, it gets treacherous might be a strong word, but they do close trails down when they get really wet. And if it is wet and you're unsure of your footing or you're not an expert hiker, you might not want to venture out on these trails on a wet day. It's amazing. The ground sort of crumbles right beneath your feet. It's like nothing.
Well,
I've
you know, everybody always needs to be careful. It's just they need to be careful in different ways. And here, this can be very slippery, slippery when wet, and it can, you know, be dangerous. And that's why they're always closing down trails, and they're also closing down roads because people apparently get stuck all the time in their cars from going down places because these storms, you know, the Badlands storms sweep in and they sweep out. So it might not be raining then, but there might have been a heavy downpour.
And we saw that. I mean, yeah. We saw rainstorms blow through and flood the entire campground and then they were gone. Also plan on dirty hiking shoes. When it's wet, plan on really dirty hiking shoes. Even when it's dry, you're going to get dirty at Badlands National Park. There's a lot of scrambling. Now, the best hike, the hike for the adventurous family, the hike for those of you in shape to do it, is the Notch Trail. It's only 1.5 miles round trip, but you actually have to climb a pretty steep ladder to complete this trail. And climbing back down was quite a challenge for our family, particularly with someone like Wesley, who's 5 years old. And I'll be the first to admit, climbing back down that ladder on the Notch Trail was not super easy for me. I mean, I was a little nervous doing it.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenging trail. Fun to rise above the challenge. And yes, we did take our five-year-old on it, and he really was okay. I mean, I climbed with him and was right behind him, both coming up, going up and coming down. But I was behind him.
I want to say, I'll give our family a little credit. We have been hiking with these boys since they were born, and they are really, really good hikers for their age. Wesley has been doing a lot of hiking at age 5. He's pretty experienced. So you want to make a smart judgment call on whether to bring your kids out on the Notch Trail. If they're not veteran hikers with a lot of hiking experience, you might not want to do it.
Right. There's a lot of cliffs, and they have to kind of hug the cliff a little bit, or they might slide and everything. So if for our boys, those are the kinds of trails that make a trip. Like when we do that trail that's a little more challenging, it stands out in their memory and they love it. And, you know, we get a picture of them like up at a high mountain. They get really excited. So for us, it's the perfect kind of
trail. This was the absolute highlight of my Badlands National Park trip. Nothing came close to that Notch Trail. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. So now there's also the Cliff Shelf Nature Trail right around the corner on the way back to the campground. So that's another one that you can stop at. And you might be like, well, there's all these little trails. But what they do is they kind of bring you out to different overlooks, different views of the Badlands. And one of the interesting things about the Badlands is that it's not just the shapes that shift. It's the way they look that really shifts at all different times of the day and in different lights. So a lot of these trails are bringing you to different places that will look remarkably different at different times of the day. So it's, you know, you might just be like, oh, I just did a trail like that. It was right around the corner, but it will actually look different. And even during the same part of the day, going to another trail and taking a look at a different part of the Badlands will look different. So it's a really neat place that way.
More than anywhere else I've ever been, the look of the landscape changed in the evening. It becomes magically beautiful in the evening. In the daytime, it's kind of stark and dry.
Very washed out.
Very washed out.
Because of the bright light, yeah.
But when the sun starts to drop, you really start to feel like you're on another planet, and a really gorgeous, beautiful planet at that. I mean, the Badlands really leaves an impression on your soul. And I know that might sound silly, but I mean, I felt like a changed person after visiting here.
Hey, I'm going to drop in another comment about that. Is a lot of people on social media commented things like, oh, well, we've been to Utah, or I'm from Utah, so I guess it's not that big. I've been to Utah too. The Badlands is not like mini Utah.
It's not. It's really not.
Like, it's really not. It is a different kind of place. It's not just like, oh, more clay-like rock formations. It's really different.
It's been
different.
A while since we've been to Utah, but the landscapes are dramatically different to me.
They are,
and the
yeah.
The culture's different. The history's different. I mean, don't make that mistake. Like, I've been to Utah, I'm not going to go to the Badlands. So let's give everybody some tips for hiking, because it is a bit of a different hiking environment than a lot of other national parks. So what are some things to consider in that department?
You really only want to schedule hikes for the early morning or the late afternoon. I mean, you know, you might have a different weather pattern and all of a sudden it might be like 70 degrees in the middle of the day. But for the most part, if you're traveling during the peak season, you really do. It gets blazing hot midday, and it's just best to schedule your hikes for the morning and the late afternoon. You want to carry lots of water. You also, because very dry, the heat, it really affects people, and you know they're not prepared.
God forbid you get lost. I mean, if you're doing one of these trails that we're talking about, like, you're not going to get lost. If you decide to do anything sort of off trail, you could get lost in the Badlands, and you just want to make sure you got plenty of water so you can find your way home safely.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have hats and sunglasses. The glare can really be very strong, you know, compared to other places that you might have been. The hat's a good idea the whole time you're there. Check in at the visitor center before you go to see if it's open. And like you said, wear shoes that you don't mind getting dirty, because they will.
And if you hike when it's wet and your shoes get disgusting, let them dry in the sun later in the day and take them and then whack them against the road, and it'll all come off at that point.
All right, now let's dive into ranger programs. So this is kind of a ranger program slash hiking, but there's also the fossil exhibit trail that is kind of a little bit a ways from all the other trails that we just talked about. And that they have a ranger talk there. Now you'll have to check the schedule yourself, but it was in the summer, it looked like it was there on a daily basis. And this was a great thing to do for us in like midday because we drove there and listened to the ranger talk, even though it was hot.
It was under a little shelter area mm-hmm. in the shade.
Yeah. And then right in that area, there's been lots of fossils that have been found. So after hearing the ranger talk about the fossils and the different kinds of animals that lived in the region over, you know, millions of years, then you could actually go along the trail and look for fossils.
People find fossils in Badlands National Park. I mean, people turn them in and find like historical examples of fossils. It's really quite incredible.
Yeah. And then there's also lots of other ranger talks throughout the day, but the really famous one is the Night Sky program. So every single night at the amphitheater that's right next to the visitor center, right next to Cedar Pass Campground, there's a ranger talk on a variety of different topics. We listened to one that was actually on the plague in the prairie dog pop. It was interesting. Yeah. And I learned so much. And then immediately following the ranger talk is a sky program, a night sky program where they bring out the telescopes that they own and they let every single person look through. They'll point out constellations. They'll look at the moon. Really just a remarkable program.
You kind of get in line and everybody gets like one chance to do it, right?
Well, I guess if it's more crowded, that's probably the case. But I'm sure there's times that are less crowded.
And this runs from Memorial Day to Labor Day. All right. Now, the other major highlight, and I almost partly regret saying the Notch Trail was like my ultimate highlight because this really came close. And if you catch me on another day, I might say this was the ultimate highlight. But driving the Loop Road and the Sage Creek Rim Road, just looking for wildlife, was amazing. We saw wildlife everywhere. We saw pronghorn. We saw bison. We saw the prairie dogs. And they were so close to the car. It was majestic. It was beautiful. It was everything I wanted in a trip out to South Dakota.
Yeah. And again, you know, we saw a few bison here. And then, of course, when we were in Custer afterwards, it was like just huge amounts of bison everywhere. But here, the pronghorn sheep were really marvelous. And they were right there. And it was crazy. Like, our boys were in awe. And then also the prairie dog towns. It was unbelievable to get out of the car and watch them all popping up and everything. And, you know, we saw some bad wildlife behavior there with people feeding them out there on the road. And we were able to tell our kids, like, no, you're not supposed to do that. And that hurts them. But then also after hearing the ranger talk about the plague, I was even happier that we'd been like, no kids, you don't feed them prairie dogs.
And for me as a photographer, I just loved this. I had my 70 to 200 zoom lens and I just got majestic photos of the wildlife. And we don't have that in the East. You know, I mean, Great Smoky Mountains National Park is amazing, but it's not like there's this crazy abundance of wildlife everywhere.
Now, the Badlands Loop Road, you take that and then you turn off onto the Sage Creek Rim Road that's actually not a paved road, and you turn off to go to see a lot of that wildlife. But the Badlands Loop Road, it's not just a long road of looking at the same landscape again and again. What is remarkable when you do that loop road is you realize the variations in the landscape throughout the park. And they had the mounds that are, you know, the yellow mounds at a certain point.
Colors change.
It's stunning. So we actually did that a couple of times because what happens is you can take the loop road and you can wind up near Wall Drug. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment, some other things that we can do around the park. So
not just a tourist trap, people.
Stay tuned.
It's a taste of South Dakota. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for another segment on Badlands National Park. And in this segment, we're going to take you outside the park because there's all kinds of cool stuff to do right outside of the park and on the way into the park. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Keeping your tanks in great shape is a really important part of RV maintenance, but also of the whole RV experience. It's probably like the number one way to have a great RV vacation is not to have any tank issues whatsoever along the way.
Once you get the bad tank odors, they can be hard to get rid of.
So we've used Thetford products for all of our 9 years of RVing. We started using them in our very first pop-up camper because I think we got some samples along with the pop-up.
I think at Stone's Camping World when I bought the pop-up camper, they gave me some samples.
So we have freshwater tank sanitizers, drain lubricant, level gauge cleaner. They have everything that you need to keep your tanks operating in tip-top condition. Visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of holding tank products.
All right, now we left from Sioux City, South Dakota, from the Jellystone, which was a really cool campground, and we drove to the Badlands. From what I remember, that was maybe a four-hour drive.
Yeah, and in fact, we had been speculating about what we were going to do that day, and initially, we had thought we might drive right from picking up the RV in Minnesota straight through to the Badlands, because technically, I think it was like
it was doable.
A six-hour day, a seven-hour day.
It was
day.
Like 7.5. We could have done
and
it.
And we could have done it. And but the thing was, is what I when I looked at the map, what we couldn't have done was, you know, make a bunch of stops, fun roadside attraction stops during the day and still made reasonable
and
time.
All of Carrie Cox's blog posts on her Travels with Birdie blog about all those awesome roadside attractions in South Dakota, I think we were pretty excited to do a lazy, meandering kind of long day, just stopping when we wanted to stop, checking out all those roadside attractions. And we stopped at that Cabela's too, which is in South Dakota.
Yeah, it's part of the experience for me. When you're driving through South Dakota, I mean, this is a tradition, right? These kitschy roadside attractions are sort of legendary. And I was like, well, who am I to say? I'm just going to blow by these because they're kitschy and they're not fun. Well, actually, we had a great day. And it did take us like the whole day because we did so many stops. We stopped, first of all, at the Porter Sculptor Garden.
Which is a Harvest Host spot.
Yes.
There was one fifth wheel that had spent the night camping there. Mm-hmm. We're Harvest Host members
we
who haven't.
To the couple, yeah.
We haven't used it yet, but the guy was like, yeah, this was a pretty incredible Harvest Host spot.
Yeah, it was really pretty. I mean, looking out over the plains. But the Sculptor Garden was absolutely worth a stop there. The guy is really quirky and funny.
I wouldn't know much about the Sculptor Garden.
Well, yeah, you were messing
around. We had a little issue with the RV,
which we had just picked up, yeah. So we weren't quite familiar with the equalizer.
One of the sway bars fell off on the way into the Porter Sculpture Park, but I figured it out.
So anyway, the guy who runs the place is super quirky, and he apparently loved Maggie. Like, he had like her aura was like good as soon as we pulled in, and he was like, yeah, she can run free. He like demanded that I take her off of the leash because he knew she was like, she had like a good vibe.
They connected on the spirit level.
Yeah, because he had a dog too, and he was like, oh no, she's a good dog, take her off the leash. And he almost like demanded, he was like, she can come off the leash. And so she ran through.
The whole place was quirky.
Yeah, it is.
Out in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. And by the way, the other thing for those that like to get cool photos about the Porter Sculpture Park, I got some of the best photos on the entire South Dakota trip just pulling the RV over on the side of the road on the way into the Porter Sculpture Park because it's just surrounded by gorgeous natural beauty.
Now, we also stopped at the Corn Palace, which I hear people complain about all the time, and I get it. It's like not like, oh my gosh, this is going to knock your socks off, an amazing experience. But I'm going to tell you something. My kids are going to remember eating corn at the Corn Palace when they're like old and gray. I guarantee you.
They loved the corn dogs.
They absolutely
loved the corn dogs.
We were not planning on having lunch there.
That's pretty much what you can get there. You can get corn. You can get corn dogs.
And popcorn.
You can get popcorn. And then I think they have water.
Yeah, there's like the timeline.
Like,
there's
I mean, honestly, that was as kitschy gets. But we had fun. I don't know. We were relaxed. It was summer vacation.
We were just looking at things that you've never seen before. And they did have good RV parking. So it was easy.
And everything has good RV parking out there.
Yeah.
That's another reason. Like, you can kind of relax and do all these stops. I think it would be a crying shame to just barrel across South Dakota to get out to Mount Rushmore and not do all these things.
Yeah. Now, Waldrug is about a half hour away from the Badlands. And the way that we were coming, it's actually a little past the entrance to the Badlands. So we actually had to drive past. But the reason why we did that was because our boys forget about it. They had been hearing about Waldrug. They were not going to wait until the next day.
Hundreds of signs on the way.
We counted them. I think we counted like 120
something. I think we miscounted them. That's what we did. But they make it such a cool experience, like all these different retro, vintage, cool, funky signs. And it's almost like by the time you get to near Badlands National Park, it's like you have to stop. You've seen so many signs, you feel like you must stop at Waldrug. And I already knew that we were stopping at Waldrug.
Well, it was just a long day. And to me, it would have been like, okay, let's stop at the campground and then we'll go tomorrow. But forget about it. We were going to Waldrug.
Right to Waldrug.
I think we got there at about 5. And so it was fine because we were all hungry. And I think we ended up having dinner there.
How many
anyway.
5 cent cups of coffee did I pound?
Yeah, you were just knocking them back.
It's decent coffee. It's like the equivalent of a nice Wawa. It's on Starbucks, you know, but it's the equivalent of like a nice Wawa cup of coffee for 5 cents.
We got all of the pictures on the Jackrabbit and, you know, you got everything we needed.
Bought a bag of their homemade donuts and brought them back to the campground. I bought some books in the bookstore, lots of cool South Dakota books. I bought Cowboy Kent Roland's cookbook at the bookstore. Waldrug is worth planning on spending a couple hours, maybe a half day, grab lunch or dinner there, and then walk around the town of Wall. It's not to be missed.
Yeah, and you know, if you need to make it a little less kitschy and a little more educational, if you're one of those kinds of people, well, then you can go right next door to the Grasslands Visitor Center, because it is right next door.
It is. It's a weird combination. And if you want your young kids to take a nap during the film, this is the film that will put them to sleep. I'm sorry, I loved the Grasslands Visitor Center. I personally found the movie interesting.
I think you fell asleep.
I think I also fell asleep.
It was so long. Like, so at first, at the beginning, I was like, I'm learning so much about the Grasslands. Because it turns out the Grasslands, okay, so that's part of the National Forest. And this is the only visitor center for all of the Grasslands.
Which
that covers
why we felt like we had to go.
Hundreds of thousands
but
of acres
remember,
in
remember
America.
Remember when you were back in school in the 80s or 90s, and like your science teacher was sick and he left a VHS tape for the sub to play? Like, this was that VHS tape that the substitute teacher played. Like, it was like 30 years old.
Yeah. Oh, totally. The guys were wearing short shorts.
And I was rooting for them.
As they
like,
rode their
I
bikes,
wanted,
yeah.
I want, whenever I go to a visitor center, I want the movie to be good.
Yeah.
Okay. But this one was a struggle.
Yeah. It was just the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh, wow, I'm learning so much. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to go on forever. And it really did. But
now,
that's
now
fine.
Now, someone listening is offended by the fact that I didn't like this movie, I'm sure. So if it's
so.
You, send me an email.
No, don't.
I'll apologize.
But they had a junior ranger program. They had activities. They had coloring activities
they
right
had
there.
Free stickers.
Very friendly. Like right away when you walked in, they were like trying, you know, getting the kids
well,
into
one
activities.
One of the rangers from the Grasslands Visitor Center was there for the ranger
the prairie
talk
dog.
At Cedar Pass. And he was awesome.
The plague.
He gave the prairie dog talk.
He was one of these
dynamic
young rangers.
And he was like, oh, come see me at the Grasslands Visitor Center. Like, I'm lonely there. Like, I thought he was joking. But like, no, he was serious. Like, they're lonely at the Grasslands Visitor Center. They need you to pop in.
Well, it's a nice visitor center. And you can get your stamp again and your passport. You know,
and
it's
you can
an,
walk off all the calories from the ice cream and homemade donuts at Waldrug. Because Stephanie's right.
I don't
it's
know
a
that
block
you're
away.
It's not going to walk all those
you
calories.
You can pretend.
Off. It's right there. Right? Now, another thing that people kept dropping to us on social media.
People were like, you've got to
like,
stop here.
You have to go to the Minuteman Missile Visitor Center. This was not really on my radar as something that we needed to do. But so many people told us that this was a super interesting place. And we really do believe in recommendations and like listening when people say that something is great. So we decided to go, I think in the, again, in the midday because we were doing some hikes in the morning. It gets hot in the afternoon. So we went
and
here.
And this is one of those things if you do one night, you're just not going to get here.
Right. This place was phenomenal.
The movie here, and I don't say this sarcastically,
whoa.
The movie here was gripping.
It was. This is one of the many sites where they buried nuclear rock missiles during the Cold War. So, yeah, we all know the Cold War, but then you watch a movie like this and you realize how much you don't know about the Cold War. Like, I learned so much
watching this movie. Since there wasn't, like, the horrible tragedy of a World War I or World War II, I think a lot of us look at the Cold War as being kind of cute. When you were living through it, it was people were afraid. And this film really captures that.
It really brought it to life. And it was amazing. And so the thing that we learned was that you can get a guided tour of Delta One, which is one of the nuclear missiles that was buried in the area. They call it hiding in plain sight, I think. That was like that's like their phrase for
you
all of these silos.
You could drive by and not even know it was there.
You wouldn't know, right? But you can't make same-day reservations. So the only way to reserve one of these these free guided tours is to do it online, but you have to be at least 24 hours in advance. So even if there was a spot on one of the guided tours, you can't walk up to the desk.
And there's very limited spaces.
Right. So if I had known that, I honestly think that that would have been a pretty phenomenal experience.
People on social media were like raving about it. I'm sure that's a top-notch experience, but this was a very well-planned trip for us, but we didn't get that thing
in. So definitely go online in advance if you have the time and make that reservation more than 24 hours in advance to do the guided tour, because I bet it'll pay off.
And again, the Rangers were really informative and interesting. I bought a little book about the whole Minuteman Missile program, and I brought it up to pay for it, and the Ranger's like, oh yeah, I was the co-author of this book. You know, so you're getting experts there. This is really, really cool if you're into Cold War history or United States history.
Well, and the display, not just the movie, but the little museum part of the display was awesome. So this is, we now are now raving about it, and other people are going, what are they talking about? Just like, you know,
you could knock this out in like 2 hours and get a really cool experience.
Oh, yeah. And that's what we did. And then, but I would just highly recommend doing that guided tour if you can. So that's pretty much our two full days in the Badlands.
Yeah, like 2 full days, like a full day in the park. And you could do a full day or at least a full half day out of the park. It's like a day and a half in the park and a solid half day out of the park.
Yeah. Dig into those Ranger programs, do some of the classes. You know, it's a really fascinating
place. We love our podcast listeners. We want you to have the best travel experiences. Don't just do one night if you can avoid it.
All right. So that is our inside guide to Badlands National Park. We are going to be back in a minute to wrap up the show. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you for listening to our Badlands National Park episodes. We really, really love visiting here. I hope that one day in my life I get to return. We're going to do the RVFTA News Roundup before we wrap up the show, and this one is sponsored by our very dear friends at Camp Casual.
Camp Casual has been family-owned and operated since 2014, kind of like the RVFTA podcast network.
Born at the same time.
We were. Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. You can go to campcasual.com and you can see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
And we're doing a huge giveaway with Camp Casual. So it's the 4th annual hashtag RVFTA ornament giveaway over on Instagram. So head over to our Instagram account and see how to enter. Basically, you take really cool photos of your RV and camping themed Christmas ornaments, post those ornaments on Instagram using hashtag RVFTA ornament, and we will have an amazing panel of professional ornament photographers pick the best one, and they're going to get over 100.
That's not cheap.
And we're going to give them over $100 worth of Camp Casual swag. We're going to give them a mug, a blanket, and a nesting bowl set.
All right. Now, also make sure coming up that you are checking out our RV show dates. I put them all on our calendar over at rvfta.com. We have an events page. If you click on that events page on our homepage, just scroll down to the bottom, click on events, you'll see all of our events around the country throughout the course of the winter.
We really we're taking on America this winter.
Yeah. I'm going to start off, I think, in Minnesota.
Yeah. Stephanie had the Myrtle Beach show canceled, and she's then heading out to cold Kansas in the middle of the winter.
Instead of Myrtle Beach.
It's not a knock on Kansas. It's just more about the weather.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think she was looking forward to getting to Myrtle Beach later in the winter because it can be nice there.
All right, but you can come say hi if you're in any of those areas. And don't forget to go over to Amazon and grab your own copy of the Campground Gourmet and then review it so that you can be entered to win a $100 gift card.
And if you love this podcast as much as we love you, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. We sure would appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.